I want this morning to begin to look at what is obviously a very, very familiar passage of Scripture, Psalm 23. Just because it is familiar doesn't mean we shouldn't study it. Actually, it means we should study it because it is one of those passages we all know so well. You've probably memorized it. And it is therefore a great danger that we don't actually study it. We all know it. And we say, well, of course, I know Psalm 23. But there is a reason why it is so familiar. There is a reason why it is so such a great blessing to God's people. And it is because it contains some tremendous teaching for our souls. And I'm not going to do it in a week. We're going to take our time going through Psalm 23. And I trust as we look at it, it will bring a new insight into this very familiar passage. And I trust it will be of blessing to us. The psalm was written for our blessing. It was written to encourage us. It was written to comfort us. It was written to raise our spirits, to worship God. It's what we call a positive passage of Scripture. There's nothing negative in it. There are no challenges for God's people. There is no telling off in this psalm. And God isn't in this psalm speaking to his people and saying, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do this. There are other passages where God has to speak like that. But Psalm 23 isn't one of those. It is a psalm where God speaks to his people and God speaks about his love and his mercy and his grace for his people. And I trust as we go through this psalm, it will indeed be a great blessing to us. This morning, I want to just take the first few words of that psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." What does it mean? I think when David wrote the psalm, the people of his day knew exactly what he meant. Because the shepherds were a familiar sight in Israel. You remember, the Israelites didn't live in huge cities. They lived in small towns and villages. Even Jerusalem wasn't a massive city. You remember that one of the gates into Jerusalem was called the Sheep Gate. We read about this in the New Testament, that there was a sheep gate in Jerusalem. So it seems quite obviously that people would bring their sheep and take them out again. And sheep and shepherds were a familiar sight to all Israelites. I guess today, if we were living in the center of London, shepherds and sheep would be a totally unfamiliar sight. Well, actually, in Clevedon, unless you're in Kingston Seymour, is still not a very familiar sight. So people in David's day would have known what a shepherd was. We don't. And God, in his grace and mercy, has told us. There is, of course, a New Testament passage. And there is this passage in John's Gospel, chapter 10. And in John 10, Jesus explains what a good shepherd is. And this morning I want to look at some verses in John's Gospel and chapter 10. These two verses that we've put up there. They're in chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. And this is what Jesus says in that passage, John 10, verses 14 and 15. And Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Again, a very, very familiar passage, but it is packed with content. This is a tremendous passage. It's one of the great passages of the Bible. And this morning I want to explore and unfold for you John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." I want to bring three things from this passage to explain to you what it means that Christ is our shepherd. What does it mean that Jesus is our shepherd? What did David mean when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Three things, all from this passage. In the first place, it means that Christ, our shepherd, knows us. Christ our shepherd knows us. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, I know my own. Now you know that in the Bible, the word know, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is used in a way that we don't use it in English today. You see, I might say to you, I know London. Well, I don't know every street in London. I don't actually know any part of London really, really well. I know bits of London. In fact, I lived in London many years ago for a short time, and I knew bits of London then. But I could say, well, I know London, meaning I know vaguely where London is, and I know vaguely where Finchley is, and where Walworth is, and where Ealing is, and so on. I know vaguely some of the things. But when the Bible uses the word know, the Bible talks about intimacy. Adam knew his wife Eve, and she gave birth to a child. So there is this intimate knowledge. There is this relationship. It isn't just a vague kind of knowledge. Now, do you know, when you look at this, these are some of the most comforting words in the Bible. When you first look at them, you might feel a little bit uncomfortable, because we don't like people to know us through and through. We're uncomfortable with this concept that somebody knows me through and through, because there are things about me I don't want you to know. Well, that's true of all human beings. But here is the Bible saying that the Lord Jesus knows us. He says, I am the good shepherd, I know my own. And when you begin to reflect on this, you realize what a comforting thing this is. You have weaknesses. I have weaknesses. And Jesus knows our weaknesses. And yet he loves us. And he knows our weaknesses so that he can support us in our weaknesses. You can imagine an Old Testament shepherd. You can imagine David when he was a shepherd. And a particularly diligent shepherd, I guess, would get to know every one of his sheep. And he would know the temperament of his sheep. And he would know that that sheep is prone to wander. That's just its temperament. It likes novelties. And so when I take my sheep out, that sheep is always looking around and it sees something that it hasn't seen before. And that is its temperament. That is its very nature. It will just run for that, because that's the kind of sheep it is. And the shepherd knows that sheep. He knows its temperament. He knows this sheep. And he knows that this sheep always feels insecure, is always frightened, and is always next to other sheep. When it was a young lamb, he was always with his mother, wouldn't leave his mother's side. And as he grew up, he still never lost that insecurity and always wants to be very close to mother and very close to brothers and sisters and wants to be in a crowd, doesn't like to be out by itself. So he knows the temperament of that sheep. And he looks at another sheep and he says, I know the temperament of that sheep. That sheep is an aggressive sheep. It's one of these sheep that likes to make its presence felt. And when I take my sheep to the still, still waters, it will push in and push other sheep out of the way, because it wants access to the waters and it doesn't care who is there. It wants water and it will go and get that water. And so on. You understand how these things work, because each of these animals, I'm not speaking from any kind of expertise, but I guess that is how things are. And the shepherd knows the temperament of each of his sheep. Now, the reason the shepherd needs to know that is so that he can shepherd his sheep. It's not so that he can condemn the sheep. It's not so that he can punish the sheep. It's not so that he can be harsh and cruel to the sheep. It's because he wants to be a good shepherd. It's so that he can help each sheep in its particular temperament. So when he takes the sheep out in the morning, he knows that that sheep will be looking around, and he knows that there's something out there that will draw its attention and it will want to run there. And so he stands by that sheep as he leads the sheep. He has that particular sheep closest to him, and he perhaps takes hold of it so that it doesn't wander off, because there's danger there. Or another day when he goes and he sees that there are wild animals around and he knows that this particular sheep is prone to, well, it just feels very insecure. And so he perhaps stands by that sheep and say, almost like communicating to that sheep and saying, yes, I know there's danger there, but I am here for you. And so on. He, as it were, ministers to each of his sheep according to that sheep's temperament. Do you see the picture that we're getting when Jesus says here, I am the good shepherd, I know my own. Because we all, God's people, we have different temperaments. We have different personalities. And we all need help with these things. There are some of us, we just feel very, very vulnerable. Something happens in the night. You hear a noise or there's a thunderstorm and you feel, well, that's the kind of person you are. You just feel very vulnerable. You feel frightened. Perhaps you're on your own and you just think, what happens if the roof blows off? And you're prone to that sort of anxiety. The roof has never blown off your house, but it's just the kind of mind you have and you begin to think the worst of it. You think, well, supposing the winds are really, really high and the tiles flew off and the roof flew off, what would I do then? I'm on my own. And you become anxious about these things. Now the Lord knows us. He knows our temperament. He knows our personality. He knows our character. He knows the kind of people we are. And the reason he knows this, and the reason that he keeps this in mind, is not so that he may tell us off, not so that he may condemn us, not that he may rant at us, but that he may come gently to us and minister to us in our weakness. Others of us, we are prone to wonder. We like exciting things in life. And we find the pleasures of life very, very attractive. And we begin to look after them and we begin to look for them. And we begin to be attracted by them. We're seduced by them. These things happen with God's people. And the Lord knows his sheep. And the Lord knows how to support us and encourage us and protect us from the dangers of the world. And so you could go through all the different human personalities and characteristics. I can't go through all of them, but you can fill in the gaps and you can see where I'm going with this. And do you see how wonderful it is, how comforting it is for us to know that Christ, the Good Shepherd, knows us. It's a lovely little phrase there. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own. I know every one of you individually. I know the family situation that you are in today. I know the stress that your family situation causes for you today. I know the heartache and the pain that it causes you today. I know the situation you find yourself in and the pain that that brings you. I know the past that you've had and the grief that you have had in the past and the heartache that that causes you. I understand that. I know exactly where you are. And the lovely thing it is that he is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd does not condemn his sheep. He does not cast them away. But he comes alongside them, supports them, blesses them, encourages them, and stands with them in their hour of trial. You've read John's Gospel chapter 10 many times. I wonder if you've ever asked yourself this question, why did Jesus speak these words? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why did Jesus, in the beginning of chapter 10, suddenly start this long speech? It's a long speech. Why did Jesus suddenly in chapter 10 verse 1, truly, truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Why? Well, you have to remember chapter 9. Because chapter 9 is the context of chapter 10. What happened in chapter 9? A horrific event happened in chapter 9. One of the most horrific events in the Gospels happened in chapter 9. A man who was born blind was healed of his blindness. And the leaders of the synagogue, now listen to this, the leaders of the synagogue threw him out of the synagogue. Can you believe this? This poor man had never been inside the temple to worship God because disabled people were not allowed to go into the temple to worship. So he, being born blind, had never been in the temple, had never sung the Psalms of David, had never worshipped God in the fellowship of God's people. He had to be outside because he was born blind. And then Jesus heals him. He can now see. He is now fit to go into the temple. He is now fit to join God's people in worship. He is now fit to sing those psalms and to rejoice in God's goodness. But because he gives testimony to Jesus, because he speaks about Jesus and how wonderful Jesus is, the synagogue rulers hate him and they cast him out. And Jesus saw this and it hurt him. And he spoke the words of chapter 10 to say to the people, there are bad shepherds, but I am the good shepherd. And the bad shepherds do not know the sheep. They don't care for the sheep. They don't rejoice in the blessings that the sheep have received, but they care only for themselves and their reputation. This man who has been healed, they threw him out. You see, it says there in chapter 9 and verse 36, they cast him out. Those are some of the most shocking words in the whole Bible. They cast him out. And Jesus is so incensed by this that he speaks the words of John 10. And he says, I'm not like that. I will never cast anybody out. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My friends, rejoice in this. You have seated at the right hand of the Father a Savior who is your good shepherd, who knows you, who knows your personality, who knows your character, who knows your anxieties, your weaknesses, and everything about you. And yet he loves you and ministers to you, supports you, encourages you, is gracious to you, is at work in you, transforming you into his image. Christ the Good Shepherd knows us. And then the second thing in this passage, John 10, 14 and 15. And the second thing is this, of course, that Christ our Shepherd reveals himself to us. Christ our Great Shepherd reveals himself to us. Verse 14, I am the Good Shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me. I know my own, and my own know me. I wonder if you've ever meditated on those words. Do you know these are some of the most wonderful words in the Bible? I was talking to somebody this week. We were on a long drive, and he was asking me what I was preaching, and I said, I'm preaching John 10. And, you know, the fact that Christ has revealed himself to us. And he said, is it true that the Christian faith is the only faith in the world where God reveals himself to his people? And I had to think about that. I had to go back to my Hindu days, and I had to think about Islam and Buddhism and so on. And I said, you're absolutely right. Do you know there is no religion in the world where their God, and of course all gods are false, I'm not giving credence to any god, all gods are false gods and the manufacture of human minds, but there is no written holy writings, the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, where the gods reveal themselves to their people. All they do is make demands. Allah makes demands. The one true living God, the only God, reveals himself to his people. Jesus opens his heart to us. This is what happens, isn't it, when you read the Gospels? You are looking into Jesus' heart, aren't you? You read his teaching, and he's revealing his heart, isn't he? You read his miracles, he's revealing his heart, isn't he? You read of all his works, and they're all an expression of his character. And there are times when we see this. You know, you read about how Jesus saw this large group of people. And it says, doesn't it? And they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. Oh, do you remember that occasion when all these people had come to him because he was giving them teaching? And it says, Jesus had compassion on them, and he said to his disciples, "You give them some food." Because he was moved by their plight. They were all there, they were hungry, they needed food. He fed the 5,000. Do you remember the rich young ruler? I'm always moved by this passage. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do that I may gain eternal life?" And Jesus spoke to him and they had this exchange. And Luke's gospel tells us the rich young ruler went away sad because he had many riches. But before we read that, it says Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. He was a rebel. He wasn't a believer. But Jesus looked at him and loved him. There are all these passages where the heart of Jesus is revealed. Now it's wonderful because Jesus is a wonderful person. As you read the Gospels, the person who is revealing himself isn't some cruel, nasty, awful sort of person. There is no hint of cruelty, not one iota of cruelty in Jesus. There isn't a hint of nastiness in him. You never read any nastiness in him. There isn't any kind of negative attitudes or emotions in Jesus. His heart is filled with love and filled with mercy and filled with compassion and filled with grace and filled with pity. He is love. You remember the words of John in his first letter. God is love. That is his essential character. So as you read the Bible, and by the way, it's not only in the Gospels that Jesus reveals himself. The Old Testament is a revelation of Jesus. You look at Moses and you're seeing a type of Jesus. Because Moses takes the people of God out of slavery in Egypt and delivers them to the promised land. As Jesus takes us out of our slavery and takes us to heaven. You look at David, you look at Solomon, you're seeing types of Jesus. Jesus revealing himself in the Bible. And as you see the revelation of Christ, you see the glory of Christ. You see the beauty of Christ. You see what a wonderful person he is. How kind, gentle, compassionate, loving. How his heart is filled with love towards you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Because it makes you want to love him more. He becomes so lovely to us. Our hearts respond in love. And so we run to love him. And we run to leave our sins behind. And we run to serve him. Because he's such a lovely Savior. You look at a Christian who still loves their sin, a Christian who doesn't serve Christ, and you say, surely you've never seen the love of Christ. You've never had an insight into the heart of Christ. If you'd seen the love of Christ, if you'd seen Jesus in his glory, you would let go of your sins and you would say, what do my sins matter? Christ matters because he is so lovely. And Jesus reveals himself to us. Do you know this is why fellowship is so important? Why is it that we love meeting in a building like this? And we weren't happy when we were meeting on Zoom. Praise God for Zoom. It kept us going when it needed to. But how lovely it is to meet like this. Because as we meet with each other and we speak to each other, we see more of Jesus, you know. I talk to you and I say to you, tell me about your week. And you talk about some trials that you had. And how the Lord helped you in your trials. How he supported you, sustained you, and pulled you through. Well, that's given me a revelation of Christ and how compassionate Jesus is and how powerful he is. And you speak to somebody else and they talk about their challenges and the challenges they faced and how Jesus was there for them and how Jesus supported them. So you've seen again an aspect of Jesus' character that you haven't seen before. This is why fellowship is so precious. This is why it's so lovely to meet with God's people, to visit each other, to talk with each other, to share testimonies, to pray with each other, because it's a revelation of Christ and it helps us in our walk with Him. So Christ our shepherd knows us, and Christ our shepherd reveals Himself to us. His glory and His beauty, He reveals them to us. And then thirdly and finally, Christ our shepherd loves us. Christ our shepherd loves us. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And I lay down my life for my sheep. I lay down my life for my sheep. Now you know that a few chapters later, in chapter 15, Jesus spoke these words. And He said, greater love has no one than this, that someone should lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that someone should lay down his life for his friends. So when Jesus says there in verse 15, I lay down my life for my sheep, what is He saying? He's saying, I love my sheep. That's His way of saying it, isn't it? I love my sheep. And it's a tremendous reminder to us of the depth of Christ's love for us. You know, they're the easiest words in the world to say, isn't it? I love you. You know, we could meet, and perhaps we haven't met for months and months, and I could say to you, my brother, I do love you and I've missed seeing you. Well, those words trip off our tongue. And you know how the Bible says, our actions show the reality and the depth of our love. Well, Jesus doesn't just say, I love you. Jesus came to this world because His heart was filled with love for sinners. And Jesus lived in this sin-filled world because His heart was filled with love for sinners. And Jesus went to that cross and allowed sinful men to put nails into His palms and hang Him upon that cross because He loved sinners. And Jesus died upon that cross because He loved sinners. And He shed His blood upon that cross because His heart was filled with love. It was all done out of love. He loved the Father and loved to do the will of the Father. And He loved His people and wanted to save His people. All done out of love. Greater love has no one than this, that someone should lay down his life for his friends. Christ the Good Shepherd knows you through and through. And because He knows you through and through, He is there for you, to support you. And Christ the Good Shepherd reveals Himself to you. Read the Scriptures and learn more of Christ. And as you learn more of Him, you will love Him more. And you will flee your sin. And you will serve Him. And you'll be more prepared for heaven. That's the way to live the Christian life, to love Christ and to love Him more. And Christ the Good Shepherd loves you and has laid down His life for you. The Lord is my shepherd.